Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. Today is Veterans Day, and how will you honor our warriors, our heroes? Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to be able to join others who make this day so special for some special people? Have you ever wondered how Veterans Day came about to be celebrated, how it originated? Now, would you like to learn what happens when a Russian plane is shot down, which we see in the news, and also when the GOP has another debate last night? Tell me, have you ever heard of a blog called Our Missing News? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to catch all of our missing news on our show tonight? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest. He's on the show every month, and he is an extraordinary guest. He provides us with information, inspirational lessons, and some really, really great advice and information about what's going on in the world. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk4Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. So now, my dear friends, it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today for those of you who haven't heard him on the show before. He is an expert investigative journalist, speaker, and the author of the best-selling Smooth Criminal, A One-Man American Crime Wave. His book exposes the consequences of our government freeing prisoners to carry out dangerous assignments. My guest is a professional on-air broadcaster capable of telling a vital story in an informative and entertaining manner. He is a former major market anchor, news director, and network assignment editor. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today the author of Our Missing News blog, William Dean. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hello, January. Been waiting for this. We got a lot of good news here and a lot of important news and a lot of shocking news.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit, Bill, about Veterans Day. We were just talking about it before we came on the air, and I shared with you that my husband is a veteran and he's had a wonderful day. He went to breakfast at Denny's, and then the city had a ceremony at 11 o'clock at the high school. Then he was off with his buddies to Chili's for lunch. And now this evening, they're going to the Elks Club. So they're having a wonderful day. So many people celebrate this holiday throughout the country, don't they, Bill?
Yes, they do. Everybody should. Everybody should remember the vets and the sacrifice that they've given us. I was very, very fortunate. I missed Vietnam. I was in I just stayed in the United States, but I was a vet for 8 years,
mm-hmm.
6 years, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. counting the reserve duty that I did. It's too bad. The business of America is business, it seems. And Walmart has been telling people to go out and get these green light bulbs and put them in.
Yeah. What's that all about?
Well, they say this is a patriotic thing, that it will be nice so the vets go by your house and they'll see a green light bulb, and they'll see that you support the vets. But that turns out to be a profit-making situation for Walmart.
Oh, really?
There's no money going to the vets, though it's implied. And Walmart has been charging approximately $12, just a few cents under $12, for three green light bulbs that you're supposed to get and put in your window.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad, because we've got people that really need to be honored, and it's too bad that Walmart, people have reported they went to their Walmart and nobody knew what the green light bulbs were. It's a total mess.
It's a scam, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's too bad. And they say that they play numbers games. They say that they're going to hire 250,000 vets first, they said 2020, and then they made it look better, saying we're going to do this by 2018. Now, mm-hmm. that seems like a huge number. Even if they're minimum wage workers, it seems like a huge number. But you have to know that it's 1/9 of the number. Walmart is just such a huge company,
yeah.
you could say, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
And in America, and it's the world's largest private employer. Of course, some military people, armies and so forth, are bigger, and that's the only group that is not.
So we're actually paying $4 for each light bulb. That's insane.
Well, they fool you on that. It's $3.97. So you think
it's only $3. Yeah, right.
And you know how they do that. At least it wasn't $3.99, right?
$3.99. So I'll have to remember that. Then they color it up, saying they're going to make a $20 million contribution to the veterans organization.
Yes. Well, you know how much Walmart takes in a day? They take in about two times that a day. In millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
A green light bulb does nothing for the 70% of the vets who suffer from substance abuse. Half
yeah.
of all the vets suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. I don't think people realize that, or mental disorders. And the Veterans Administration says 23% of the women vets report being assaulted sexually. Positively, let's think positively instead of this Walmart thing. Better to do something that helps them directly, like give mm-hmm. a vet a ride to a vet's hospital, and don't mm-hmm. do it just today. Do it when it happens, when you see this situation. If you see a homeless vet, be sure to call 877-4-AID-VET. I'll do it again, 877-4-AID. You know, makes it like
uh-huh.
parade. 877-4-AID-VET. And give them, and because the VA is trying to end vets homelessness, and here in New York you'll see a lot of vets locked up, backed up to a building and asking for money. Donate to the USO and to the Fisher House, which January knows about
yes.
the Fisher House, and that's and these are very law abiding people that are really helping our vets.
Okay, those are wonderful suggestions.
Give money to the vets, not to Walmart. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that's a very powerful message, Bill, and I'm sure our listeners will take your advice. Now let's jump over to some of the missing news that's been going on. It's been quite an interesting week. We had the Russian plane that went down. Now they seem to agree it was a terrorist plot. Do you think that's a good guess?
Well, it certainly is, and you got to believe the Brits, people that know their history of World War II, actually World War I, too, is British intelligence is the best in the world, including that of the United States, which is pretty good. British have the deserved reputation as the world's number one code breakers. Their secret ultra code system broke the German secrecy during World War II. And King George the VI was flat out when he said the men and women at Bletchley Park, which is near London, broke the code and won the war for the Allies. So when the Brits picked up a coded message 10 days ago that congratulated the bombers of the Russian jet, I said, you got to believe. And President Obama pretty much accepted the idea that that the Brits were saying this is the likely cause that there was a bomb. And President Obama just followed. They didn't say it is, but they said it's likely. And the Russians were denying it, saying not so. But they did come around this past weekend. Mm-hmm. And yet the Egyptians, where it happened, are in total denial. They say, of course, nothing like that happened. There's a rogue splinter group of ISIS, or ISIS, roaming around the Sinai Desert, which is part of Egypt, of course, of which even the main ISIS in Syria has little control of them. And that main group has been silent, and no responsibility claim from them, from the main group, on who blew up the plane with 224 on board. I think that ISIS is even afraid of claiming responsibility on this, because I don't think they're going to win many recruits that way. 10 days after the crash, thousands of vacationers are still trying to get out of Sharm el-Sheikh. And it's taking a little more than 2,000 flights to get them home to Russia and to Great Britain. The U.S., not too many people know about Sharm el-Sheikh in the United States. We don't fly there. We fly to the capital of Egypt, Cairo. But Americans have to change planes to get to Sharm el-Sheikh, and not that many people go that way from the United States. Security in Sharm el-Sheikh is poor.
Poor. I think it's interesting in your blog you write that the Brits, with baggage concerns, will fly baggage on freight planes with no passengers. Because they expect another bombing. That's not a good sign, is it? When you can't fly with your own luggage?
How do you feel about the pilots getting on the freight plane and wondering if there's something inside? But killing two people rather than 224 is the chance you have to take, I guess. That baggage, have you seen pictures of that on television? The thousands and thousands of bags to be sorted over there.
Safety experts are concerned because you can just go on your computer and get a recipe to make a bomb, can't you?
That's exactly right. That's that comes to my next subject. Exactly. The Middle Eastern terrorists are trying to kill us in the United States, too, of course. They've come so close, like the underwear and shoe bombers that we remember. If you see something, say something has really worked, and it happened in Manhattan and Times Square when a guy saw a smoking little car, foreign car, and he immediately alerted the police and the fire, and they were able to put that out before it would have blown up Times Square. That was a few years ago. There's a great cooperative situation with the police in New York and the home security in Washington. And Raymond Kelly was the chief of police, and when he retired a couple years ago, he said that there had been 16 terrorists tries, real legitimate tries, to blow up the New York City. While American police organizations have to bat a thousand, he points out, you know, you can't make, they got to catch them all. And so far they have. And what's frightening is it's the bomb makers can simply punch up their computers and find the recipe, as you say, to bomb. It's that easy, and it doesn't cost much. If $5 or $10, you can do it. And I've never checked into one of those bomb making explanations, nor should I advise anybody else to do it, because you're going to be home security is going to know that you looked at the
computer.
Yes, and I don't want them to know me that way.
Well, that's very good advice, Bill. And when we're speaking about the recipe, I have found that the recipe for success is to have wonderful sponsors. And we're going to hear from them right now. When we come back with Bill, we're going to talk about the debate last night. We'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com. With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. the Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine. Certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive, she brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channel journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com.
Become the next great business success story by getting free PR for your business. That's why January Jones is offering a free copy of the new audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Your copy is free for the asking at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com. Go now.
Welcome back to Real Fast January Jones with my guest, Bill Dean, William Dean, the author of the blog Our Missing News. Bill, let's talk about the debate last night with Donald Trump trying to marginalize Carson Sleed. Why shouldn't we be concerned? The press is reaching on this attack against Carson. It seems like it's kind of been diffused, don't you think?
Well, I think that Donald Trump is acting, trying to act presidential now. He's not name calling and all that kind of stuff anymore. And he seemed like a well-behaved, good little boy there last night. because he saw the numbers go down dramatically after he started getting really wild and calling people stupid and making fun of the only female's face on among the eight of them. I think that that he's become more he's minus radicalized now a little bit.
Yeah,
and I think that's important. I'm very, very happy about about the debate last night. They really showed up CNBC, which does apparently have a liberal bent, but why that was so bad a couple of weeks ago was that you've got business journalists, and they really I don't think they ever did an interview like this, that they ever handled a debate, and they thought that they had to be on and that they were challenging each other. Well, you're supposed to be an umpire when you're in that position. You're not supposed to take sides, or you're not supposed to pose tough questions. You're supposed to let the other people do it. It was kind of sad. It's really sad that that Bush is not. You can see it. You can get away with it on radio, really. You can't get away with it on television. You can see whether the person is nervous or uptight and all that. Yeah. You know, you can have a voice like this, you know, on radio and get away with it and sound like a big person and all that. But on television, it really is foolish. And you can see this. You can see this on these young women that are on, that are hired just because they're good looking, and they have a total blank look because they're concentrating totally on their looks and not on what they're saying.
But you know, but what did you think? I thought that if anyone was made for television, Marco Rubio, he is just so comfortable in his own skin when he's on television, unlike Jeb Bush. Marco Rubio and both Donald Trump, they seem like they're pretty comfortable up there.
Yes, absolutely. And he's a great speaker. And he's very, as you say, very comfortable. I think that he mixes up his politics a little bit. And for example, he went right into the middle of the Cuban community down in Miami, down in Florida. You know, because half of the people, half of the Cubans are in favor of getting rid of Castro and democracy in Cuba, and the other people have never forgotten those both. People that are 70 years old never forgot, and so he decided to go with the older group, and he didn't have to. He didn't have to. You got the young Cubans that only heard these stories, and they say, it's going to be great going down there and seeing where my grandfather was living, and I want to go. I want to go take a trip. But the older people remember it as life and death. And Marco Rubio got right into the middle of it when he didn't have to. And that's the kind of mistakes that he makes. He also has some economic problems. And but what a great speaker. I totally agree.
He's made for television. Absolutely. You know, I was reading your blog earlier today, and you write about the Missouri media fallout after they forced the head of the university to resign and the chancellor. What do you think, how's that going to play out for the rest of the country, for other schools that are having racial issues?
Well, I think I put the, did you get the email that I took that there was a conflict there about the that the teachers, actually some of the teachers at this journalism school, which is the first journalism school in the country, maybe in the world for all I know, that the people that that were in this were really really teachers of journalism, and they were forming a coalition to protect the university from publicity, which is exactly the opposite of what journalists are supposed to do. They're teaching their classes, don't do that. You have a right. You got the freedom of information in the United States, and you have to exercise it. And when it came back to them, when they had to put it into practice, it's really a shameful thing.
Yes, it's terrible. And I think that we're going to see probably more of this happen at other schools. Don't you agree?
Yes, and I hope that the journalism schools at those universities are prepared to handle it the American way with our Constitution backing us up. It's unbelievable. I mean, I could see the chemistry department or something like that, but here, I mean, you know, do as I say, don't do as I do. You know,
right, exactly. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in four different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. The new book, God Reconsidered, Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion, by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.godreconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's godreconsidered.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul. People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I'm also pleased to announce that my book is available at audiobooks.com. We have a priceless personality visiting with us today, William Dean, who is the author of Our Missing News blog. Bill, would you give your information on how people can go to your blog and how they can get your wonderful book, Smooth Criminal, A One-Man American Crime Wave?
Well, that's very easy. Of course, I'm on the internet, and it's just write Our Missing News, O-U-R, missingnews.com. And you'll get to my daily blog, and I blog about sometimes two times, sometimes five and six times a day. I let the news dictate how much I do. We follow up on all kinds of news, and we carry it until the news story is over. We just don't say, oh, a plane has crashed. We go and follow and find out the investigation and why the plane did crash. And that's one of the things that that big media does seem to make a mistake about. They'll cover the plane crash real fast, but they won't cover the analysis that happens maybe 3 months later.
Right.
That could help avoid future crashes of that kind.
Sure. And also, your book is available at Amazon.com. Now, before we talk about these wonderful five historical movies, which I adore seeing, just briefly comment on this crazy story out of Canyon City, Colorado. And because of this story, the football team canceled their last game. Share with our listeners what's going on with these high school kids.
Well, you know, I was thinking about how I was when I was in high school and so forth, mm-hmm. and we might have sex possibly, but it would be very quiet, you know. show this off. But what's happening here with these kids? They don't seem to be. There's a racism too, as far as kids are pretty much colorblind today. And that was not the case when I was in school. The kids today are walking around with their little computers, and they have an app out at Canyon City High School in Colorado, where students have a Photo Vault, V-A-U-L-T, app. And it wasn't just a couple of kids with nude pictures. We knew that when we were in high school, mm-hmm. and so forth. Oh, look at that picture. But yeah. This thing is at least 100 students had taken pictures of themselves, and they traded the naked pictures of themselves, part of a large sexting ring, and they don't seem to be ashamed or anything else to let everybody in the school see their nude parts.
Oh, that's amazing.
The revelation has left parents outraged, of course, because they're in another generation. Mm-hmm. And George Welch, he's the superintendent of Canyon City School System, has said that the students at the high school had been circulating 300 to 400 nude photographs. Now, we know that this is going on around the country, but the volume that was going on at Canyon City High School,
yeah.
I think it takes the cake. And they know that it's over 100 different kids on this thing. And Welch says that there was nothing the school can do. The parents are screaming, do something about it. He says, there's nothing that we can do because underage kids have a right to mm-hmm. take their own picture and give their own picture to somebody else. They're not stealing, taking somebody else's
right.
picture or
yeah.
peering through a window. And so while the parents are demanding, do something, and they say, we don't have a law. The laws haven't caught up with today's kids.
That's amazing. Amazing. And, you know, everyone, everywhere you go, you see everyone taking selfies. I've even started doing it. They're a fun thing to do, but the thought of all 300 nude kids doing it, that's pretty scary. Let's talk about movies now. We'll change the subject to historical movies. You've recommended 5. Did you ever get to see Black Mass?
Oh, yes. I saw that. Just recently, I've seen all 5 within the past 2 weeks. I really went to work on it, so
good.
I could comment on that for the January Jones Show.
Well, what did you think about Black Mass? I thought he was amazing.
Well, I thought so too. I think we had the private showing, we had the director. And it was quite an inspiration to the way he did it. I don't have time to explain it that much, but I gotta say that this is a Boston story. It started out, and I think everybody remembers that Whitey Bulger was caught hiding out in California City a couple of years ago, and he had been free. They didn't know where he was for about 15 years, and it finally came to a resolution when they found him. The Boston police and the FBI with Bulger, in my smooth criminal book, the local police and the CIA in Florida, in my case, and the FBI and in Boston with the local police, they got together. And the CIA got together with criminals in Miami, which I expose in my book, Smooth Criminal, A One-Man American Crime Wave.
Right.
He was a government informer. Informing on other criminals, he escaped and he could go out there and kill people and rob people and run a major drug operation in South Boston and get away with it because he continued to inform the FBI and the local Boston police. Right. And this was going
amazing.
On in my case in Miami. I felt that like I accidentally ran into it. I wasn't looking for it. And when mm-hmm. I found it, I said, I have to do this story because people need to protect themselves. And it really is the case where they had to protect themselves because we've got criminals out there, and you call the police and you ask the police to help because there's a criminal in your house, and they don't come because
they
that happens
yeah.
to be Bolger's. they look at it and they say, well, we'd like to themselves. Well, we'd like to, but we have to weigh we throw him in jail, then we won't know where all the other criminals are, and it will be worse. And there's a rationale to this.
This movie was so similar to your story of Smooth Criminal that I couldn't help but think, I think your book should be made into a movie. I don't know if anyone's approached you about it, but it's very similar.
We are getting closer on that.
Good. I can't wait to go to the premiere. And in the meantime,
absolutely. pick out your dress.
Okay. And in the meantime, we're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Bridge of Spies, which is practically a near perfect movie. We'll be right back.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Millard, the great success creator. Miles is a 2-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
I'm also pleased to announce that my book is available at audiobooks.com. We have a priceless personality with us today, and we're discussing 5 of the recent historical movies, and most of these movies I'm sure will be in the running for an Oscar. I recently saw Bridge of Spies, and it's the true story of James B. Donovan, who successfully got Francis Gary Powers, who was the U-2 pilot captured by the Soviets, back before he could reveal secrets. ABC Radio calls Bridge of Spies an almost perfect movie. Tom Hanks is in the lead, and of course, Steven Spielberg produced it. What a fabulous movie. This was history that not many people know about, do they?
No, they don't, and they don't know how important it is. Francis Gary Powers was a U-2 pilot, and mm-hmm. that they could fly above the Russian missiles, they thought, And then pretty soon the Russians got a missile that could reach way up, like 8,500 feet, and they knocked it down. The special effects, the story is very important, but mm-hmm. the special effects of that plane being hit and Powers in that parachute going
yeah.
down was just so frightening, and it took me right into the cockpit of that plane, and uh-huh. you can see where he's deciding to take the pill or not take
uh-huh.
the pill,
yeah.
and you see that. That wasn't really explained that well, but he was supposed to, if he was, before he got caught, he was supposed to
kill himself.
Be killed. It's supposed to be poisoned automatically. And he decided not to, so it became, with all the secrecy that he had under torture in Russia. So this guy, James B. Donovan, was successful in getting him out of the mm-hmm. Soviet Union.
Well, he was a master negotiator. Turns out, over his career, he did many negotiations, and he was responsible for negotiating over 9,000 people and getting their freedom. He's someone that not many people knew about. The other interesting thing I thought, Bill, was that Francis Gary Powers, when he came back to this country, he was not what you'd call a very popular person. However,
not at all.
However, yeah, after it all came to light, after he died, he was awarded quite a few medals from the United States because of what he had gone through with the interrogations. That was pretty brutal. Speaking of brutal, briefly give me your thoughts on the Steve Jobs movie.
Well, that's pretty, we can do that one pretty fast. It's it's Steve Jobs' life, and he certainly was a tough guy to work for. And we owe the computer that we see today to Steve Jobs, and mm-hmm. Other people have copied it and so forth. He was a designer. He was an engineer. He was not a designer, engineer, or coder, but his determination kept the geniuses around him. He was expert at finding these geniuses, and yes, you wouldn't want to work for him. You'd be working 72 hours straight, and he'd be yelling at you for not for getting tired. Jobs, not you, would get all the credit, and Jobs would have it no other way. He had a big ego.
Yeah,
it's also interesting. Did you see the movie?
Yes, I did. And in his personal life,
yes.
He was not so nice.
No, he wasn't.
He was not.
Michael Fassbender did an excellent job, in my mm-hmm. opinion. I thought that because going from one being a loving person and being an explosive person and all of that, I think that Michael Fassbender really, really did that. And that's difficult for an actor to change from a yelling person to a loving person. And he did
very
that
difficult.
Throughout the whole
we have. Okay, Bill, we have 3 minutes. One final one. Give us your take on the movie that I haven't seen yet, and it's about the Boston priests who were raping boys and girls.
Yes, tears came to my eyes because I can relate to this when the people were telling them, hey, don't investigate this mm-hmm. Roman Catholic problem. We know the priests, leave them alone.
Uh-huh.
We know they're abusing boys and some girls, but look the other way. And they were getting, people were saying, hey, don't stop minding our business, leave us alone, and so forth. And the Boston Globe, I really admire them because they took all the criticism, and yet they explained it and they showed it and they proved it, and then the people were behind them. But they sure weren't for all the years of investigation. They had over 600 stories on this.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And,
it kind of reminds me of what happened when they went after Watergate, and that newspaper was investigating Watergate, and no one would believe that either, would they?
No. And this was a very personal thing. Can you imagine? It took 130 complaints, 7 boys from the same family. were violated, and over 30 years in six transferred parishes before this priest, John Geoghegan, was finally retired. And I, if I got a second here, I just want to say the Catholic Church has paid $4 billion out of this. They could be going to children. They could be going. These are lawsuits that are going on all the time over the country. And when you put your dollars into the basket, that's where half of it is going lots of times.
What and, a tragedy.
They have, the Vatican claims that it has defrocked 848 priests of the United States in the past 2 years and 3,400 in the world. $4 billion child abuse case is now, as of last week, November the 4th, $3,994,797. $1.60. That is where so much of your money, your contributions are going to these lawyers and to these cases.
Well, I haven't seen the movie. It's called Spotlight. I tend to see it. It's a tragedy. But one thing that's not a tragedy is when you come to visit us on the show, Bill. I enjoy having you, and thank you so much. I adore sharing you with our listeners. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. My upcoming guests are all like Bill. They will amaze, amuse, and astonish you with amazing information. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World. We really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, stop with the whining, start smiling, and then you can go out and start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest, William Dean, the author of Our Missing News blog. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe. We'll now close, since it's Veteran Days, with music by Serantos and his latest song, The Veteran.
This one goes out to all who served your country long and proud. The ones who wanted to but never could, shout out loud.
To my country, I gave the best years of my life. To my country, I was as loyal to you as I was to my wife. I went to war just for you, so you could sleep at night. I kept the balance far away from you. I fought a good fight. I did it all for you. They say I'm a veteran for life.
old. 21 guns, a hero's end. Here goes another veteran. Yeah! I was a veteran for life. I did it for you. I fought for you. I served for you. I bled for you. I killed for you. I died for you.
I am a veteran. That means I fought for you. They say I was a veteran. That means I died for you.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra: if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.